From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson, broadcasting today from NPR West in Culver City, California, and this is Here and Now. And in a few minutes, we will be joined by the governor of the state of California, Jerry Brown.
Looking forward to that, Jeremy. But first, today, about 60 years after Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev gave Crimea to the then Soviet Republic of Ukraine, Russian President Vladimir Putin signed a treaty to take it back. Putin said it was just like when Ukraine declared independence from the Soviet Union in 1991, and he lashed out at the U.S. for interfering with Russia's historic ties to Crimea. Here are his words through an interpreter.
Crimea is our common asset and the most important factor of stability in the region. This is a strategic territory that should be under strong and stable sovereignty.
NPR's Eleanor Beardsley joins us from Kiev in the Western European-leaning part of Ukraine. Eleanor, how are people there reacting?
Well, the first guy I talked to, he actually said that Putin had some strong points, that he'd won the battle of public opinion in Russia, and he said he thinks now that the whole Crimea thing is sort of becoming a fait accompli, and people are moving on to the economic issues. And I said to him, does that mean that people here accept it? And he said, yes. But then I talked to other people, and they said, absolutely not. You know, this is in one, I spoke with an older gentleman. He said, this just reminds me of the Soviet times. He said, the young people are just stunned and shocked by the aggression because they didn't live in the Soviet times, and they can't understand what's going on. And I'll tell you the last interesting thing someone told me. They said, you know, this whole thing is sort of like, you know, we were the brothers, the Ukrainian and Russian, the Slavic brothers. He said, we've been forming our opinion of Russia since we separated, and this is sort of the last final point, the period on the end of the sentence. Hmm. We have a new opinion of our Slavic neighbor, Russia.
Well, you mentioned the economic issues. What are they thought to be? I mean, what happens now?
Well, as they like to point out, Crimea, you know, basically has no industry. It's tourism, and it's highly subsidized. So one person even told me, "Yo, this will be great for the Kiev taxpayers. We don't have to pay for Crimea anymore." But, you know, a lot of people, apparently 60% of the tourists in Crimea are Ukrainian, and they will not go there this summer, that's for sure. You know, one reason they went is because, you know, they didn't have to have a visa. It was easy to go, but everyone says the services were horrible. People are predicting that Crimea could be in big trouble financially. All the gas into Crimea comes from Ukraine, the water, the food. I mean, it's not even linked to Russia by land. Ferries link it. Of course, no one's, you know, suggesting that Ukraine would cut off the water or the gas to Crimea, but they would charge higher tariffs. So, you know, people are going this far in their thinking, and then apparently people with credit cards issued from banks in Crimea can't get their money out today here, so that's where we are.
Talk more about the banking, for instance. I mean, these are countries that were connected, but Russia was also supporting Ukraine with aid. So is that immediately cut off?
You know, I don't think so yet. People I talk to are ready to pay more for gas. They say that it's worth it. It's the price to pay for freedom, to be with Europe. Even some people have said to me, we'll just wait for Crimea. They'll want to come back to us because they, even though they don't have a good economy now, they have good prospects for the future, whereas they don't see Russia as going anywhere. All the interlinked economic and financial connections and repercussions still have yet to be seen. I mean, it's going to be very complex.
You talked to us before about how Crimea was already making plans to take up the ruble, the Russian ruble, and to move their clocks 2 hours to match Russian time as opposed to Ukraine time. So there could be all those kind of bumps ahead. But what about what about concerns in Kiev that this is just the beginning? Now, President Putin addressed some of them today. He said, don't believe those who are using Russia to scare you, who say that other regions will follow Crimea. We don't want a partition of Ukraine. But do people in Kiev think that he is indeed going to march to other regions in the east where there are groups of people who feel more affinity towards Russia and have been demanding their own referendums?
Yes, they do, because he feels that Putin will send in the rabble-rousers, destabilize it, and try to take it over. So they do still believe that, yes. And, you know, I asked one person, do you think Putin will continue? He said, let me turn that question around. Is the West going to allow Putin to continue? Nobody thinks that, you know, America should send troops to fight in Ukraine against Russia. Of course not. They want to see heavy sanctions on Russia. And I interviewed a former defense minister, and he said, you know, we can take care of the internal security, but we realize our military cannot take on Russia's military. But we want a no-fly zone over the country by NATO, and we want ships in the Black Sea to keep Russia from actually landing. So they do want help.
NPR's Eleanor Beardsley in Kiev, Ukraine. Eleanor, thanks so much.
Robin, it was good to be with you.